songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Philemon Lee. My brother-in-law, Sean Olbs of the Eiffels, was able to talk to Philemon Lee over Zoom video. Philemon talked to us about growing up in a musical family, the sly way he taught himself piano in college, and getting signed to Epic Records. Check out Philemon Lee's new song, No Saving Me, featuring Lindsey Stirling. You can also watch the video of the interview with Sean and Philemon Lee on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Philemon Lee.
So thanks a lot, man. I've been listening to your music. And I'm stoked to hear the story. Sounds like you got quite a story.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Were you? So what were you up to last night?
Watching some of the football games that were on last night with some of my friends.
Nice. Yeah, some Monday night football's back.
Oh, absolutely.
You want any fantasy leagues or anything like that?
No, man, I don't really get into that.
Yeah.
I like to watch them throw the old pigskin around. That's about it.
Yes, sir. All right, Philemon. Well, let's see. I'm going to drink another sip of my caffeine here, too, and let's see if we can do this.
Oh, you're good, man.
All right. I was reading your story, but I'd love to hear you tell it, because I'm sure there's some things that I haven't seen. But how'd you get into music?
I grew up listening to my dad. You know, I was like 4 years old running around on a tour bus listening to my dad, you know, in the quartet. He was in a gospel group.
Yeah.
Then around 10 years old, he switched over to rock and roll. So I watched him perform in front of a whole bunch of people. And I used to love the way they acted towards him and the way he controlled the crowd. And I was just like, you know, that's something I want to do one day. So I started taking, you know, like singing in chorus and stuff when I was in school, like maybe around 10.
Uh-huh.
I carried through it all the way through high school. And then I went to college and I was just like, you know, I'd rather do music. So I was like 1 year in, then I dropped out. And once I dropped out, like I knew I had to buckle down and really take it serious.
Sure.
So I did. And I made a couple of songs with this kid that I met from college. And I met these two rappers from LaGrange, and they said they knew some people that owned a small label up in Buckhead. Uh-huh. And I went up there. And I started working with them for like 6-7 months. I mean, grinding, dude, like making as much music as I could, doing as many shows as I could. And then I got signed to Against the Grain with Fly Ty.
Nice.
And then Fly Ty made it happen for me, man.
Yeah. So when you were grinding, making that music, were you playing shows? Were you just putting out music digitally? How did the label connection happen? When did you guys connect?
So for like them 6-7 months, man, like I was doing every open mic that I could, every free show, anything. I didn't get paid for doing a show for like 6-7 months, man. Like,
sure, sure.
Nothing. And then a video got sent around in Atlanta, and Fly Ty picked it up, and he's the CEO of Against the Grain, and he also works for Sony or Epic. And I met up with him, and we started working, and within a week, he got in touch with Ezekiel Lewis and Sylvia Rowan and showed them who I was, and they had me on an airplane touching down in Cali for the first time, and I got to go to the Sony building, and I met up with them, fell in love with them, loved the atmosphere, awesome people, and they made it happen for me.
Nice. Yeah, I think with certain artists, they may have to take another route. But I think for people who listen to you, you got one of those voices that I feel like that catches people's ears, and they're like, "Oh, this is some this is some really good soulful stuff." So growing up, you start taking singing lessons, And was growing up, was there a particular artist or a genre that you were attracted to that you were particularly interested in?
When I was around 10, my dad showed me a lot of rock and roll groups like Aerosmith, Lynyrd Skynyrd, like the classics, AC/DC. And I used to, sit in my room trying to sing just like them. And then he introduced me to like Motown and stuff like that. So I started listening to Motown.
Yeah.
Fell in love like the Young Michael and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah, I hear both of that in your voice because you got a voice definitely that works for rock and roll, but you got a lot of soul in your voice. So you got a really cool voice. So what was your dad? What kind of singer was he? Because you said that he sang and you would kind of were you touring with him? Were you
Like when I was around four or five years old, I mean I was running around on a tour bus when he was in a gospel group. Quartet.
Uh-huh.
And then he switched over and went to rock and roll when I was about 10, and I followed him everywhere, man. I was about at every show I could possibly go to.
Okay. So that's interesting because, you know, I hear the Motown, but yeah, definitely hear the gospel too. So, I know that you were in your bio, it says you're a big fan of Elvis Presley. What kind of influence did that have early on?
Man. Can you see that?
Let's see. Yeah. Oh, there he is. There's the king.
Yeah, there, man.
Yeah. That's a testament to your fandom right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it says when you were 12, you had a little room with a computer on it, and you would just blast Aerosmith.
Oh yeah, dude, that's true. That's like one of the first songs I took like really serious to learning. Was Dream On by Aerosmith.
And I mean Aerosmith, you know, Steven Tyler's got a crazy voice. So it says you were singing along. And that's kind of one of the times you realized, hey, I got a voice. So you were 12 years old and you were hitting these Steven Tyler notes.
Yeah, I was hitting the Steven Tyler notes and I was like, you know, maybe I should sing this for my dad. Cause my dad always gave me like the real rundown, you know, and like if it was good or not.
Right.
And when he heard it, he was like, you know, hey, you got a voice, kid. Like he started taking it serious. So I got in the chorus. I did whatever I could to stay around singing.
Right. Your dad's still touring around doing his thing?
No, man. I'm sure he'll start back up again. I think he wants to get back into gospel, but right now he's just taking a break. He's done it for so long.
Sure. You thinking of collabing with the dad at any point? Maybe bringing him on stage at one of the shows?
I think it'd be a cool idea. See what he thinks about it. See if he's down.
Yeah.
We got to get back to live shows first, though.
I know, totally. So you were, you know, you drop out of college essentially, and then you kind of realize, hey, man, it's sink or swim, and then you you got to throw yourself in the fire there, and then you start just playing open mics. The right person catches a video of you, and then you're flown to California to Sony, you said, or was it, you said it was Universal. Yeah. Were you feeling kind of like you were in a movie at that point? Like, oh, they're flying me to.
Oh yeah, dude. I used to tell my parents like forever. I was like, I'm going to be that broke kid that gets up enough money to move out to LA. And I'm going to be that kid singing at every place I can in LA till I get noticed. I was saying that when I was like 13, like I've always wanted to go to LA.
And
the first time I ever touched down, it was like, it was crazy because I was going straight to a major label, you know?
Yeah. So, hell of a way to make an entrance.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was crazy.
So you back, are you back home now? Are you still in Los Angeles? Where are you based out of now?
I live in Atlanta now. I live in the Buckhead area around in there, like in Atlanta. Got my first place by myself. Trying to do the big adult things.
Yep. Got the big boy pants on.
Yeah.
So I know that before then, or maybe even before, was this before you got flown out? I know you were just, it, I was reading you were, you know, just living on an air mattress and then at the corner of the living room of that label executive apartment. Are you still living in the apartment or you got your own place now in Atlanta?
No. So before I got signed, I wasn't living at Fly Ty's house. The guy that owned the smaller label that I was working with before I met Fly Ty, I was staying at his house in Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
And his like, you know, the room you're not supposed to touch, but it's got all the nice furniture in it. It's kind of like one of those rooms.
Right. The living room
I was sleeping in the corner over there.
Yeah.
And then, after I met up with Fly Ty and made my dreams come true, I was fortunate enough to get my own place. So I have my own place now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got the bachelor pad in full effect.
Oh, for sure.
So, are you still under, are you on Epic Records now? Cause I know you had your debut songs, Memories and Sunflower, which are great, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Is that how once you got on those labels, you put those tracks out? Were those already recorded or did you then head into the studio with some producers?
After I got signed, they started pairing me up with like good producers and some good songwriters that helped me out and stuff like that. And that's when I only had one song released before I got signed.
Uh-huh.
But after I got signed, they paired me up with some really talented people and stuck me in the right rooms and I made the right songs and they thought it was ready to go. So they released them.
When you were doing open mics before this, were you performing cover songs or were these songs that you had written that you were writing along the way?
No, those were when I was saying like the 6-7 months that I was doing all those shows.
Yeah.
I think like the first couple of weeks with that smaller label I was with, they paired me up with a producer and a writer and I made those three songs and I literally performed those three songs at every open mic for 6-7 months.
Got it. So you had already done like some co-writing, so I guess you were already used to that. So was it more of the same when you stepped in to these co-writing sessions with some of the people the label connected you with, or was it?
Well, it was definitely different. It was definitely different. Most of the people I worked with a couple of people before I got signed, and you know they were pretty talented, but when the label paired me up with some of these people that's wrote number ones,
yeah,
it's just like they had their formula down and they just knew, like, it was just crazy watching how talented some of these people are.
Yeah.
Cause you feel like every topic's been written about, or you feel like most of the melodies and all that. And then they just like just seeing their mind, how it works. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it really is. I've been, my girlfriend recently turned me on to, Songland. Have you seen that show?
Is that where like the people write for the big artists?
Yeah, they have two or three writers. They got like three writers hosting, and then they'll bring in like a guest artist, and basically they'll bring in writers. So it's kind of like American Idol or something like that for songwriters. They'll kind of they'll pitch a song, and then they'll have an artist like Usher. Like they got these huge artists, and Usher will, along with each of the writers will write a song with one of those writers that they choose, and then Usher or whoever the artist might be will decide which writer they want to work with. As far as so, it's pretty rad. It's a rad show for songwriters.
I've seen like clips of it. I never got to watch like full episodes, but I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy seeing how they just literally on the spot will just be like, oh, let's change this around, and it makes me wonder if they've actually heard the songs before, or if it is really them hearing it for the first time and they really are just that quick on their feet. It's crazy.
Well, the people I've had opportunities to work with, they're really talented people. So.
Yeah. So yeah, I think a lot of them, you know, really are that quick, which is the crazy part about it. So, you know, it's 2020. So as you were saying, kind of put a damper on some people's plans. Were you planning on touring this year? And what was the plan this year?
I don't necessarily think touring as much. Mm-hmm. I think this year was really for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Just get my name, my face out there and letting people hear what I had to offer.
Right.
I definitely think on the business standpoint, I was supposed to be traveling more and performing for certain groups
mm-hmm.
of people in the industry, and it never had the opportunity to happen because of COVID.
Right. But
I think, I mean, I hope this thing don't last too much longer. So
yeah.
I'm ready to get out there and start doing what I love, man.
You and everybody. Yeah. So what have you been then doing this year instead? Have you been writing more? Plotting the next moves? I mean, right, you're here with me, so you're doing, you know, some press, you know, you're doing doing interviews and stuff. So that's, you know, thankfully Zoom allows us to do that. But besides, you know, promotion and all that, what have you been up to?
So this year, basically, I mean. Really just grinding, man, making as much music as I possibly can. So when I do, everything does open back up. There's a lot to choose from. I've shot 2 music videos.
Nice.
I've released a couple of songs, but I've also been able to travel a little bit and go to like the Nashville, you know, the writing groups and produce them with Big Loud. And then I go into L.A., and getting to produce with them as well. Like, there's some people out in LA that I was working with.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of my work out of Atlanta. So, been working a lot in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's cool. It's nice that you have some co-writers to work with, because I feel like 2020, it's a hard year to get inspired to write. Without giving away too much, what are some of the things that you've found yourself writing about and co-writing?
I mean, I don't necessarily think like 2020 slowed my writing process down. It definitely sparked my imagination more.
Yeah.
So I use a lot of my imagination. Mm-hmm. Maybe some love in there, you know? Maybe,
sure.
maybe a little heartbreak in there as well. I think that inspired a lot as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's well, of course, you know, there's always love's always a go-to and heartbreak. I think
it's
that's
the most relatable.
Yeah, it really is. But using your imagination, I feel like that's really something that artists need to do. You know, you might need to be writing about something that you have done in the past or want to do in the future, but may not necessarily be doing at this moment.
Yeah, for sure.
So you got a new single out though, just recently. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
No Saving Me. So No Saving Me was about like a dark time I went through in college.
Uh-huh.
Basically when I mean, if you listen to the lyrics, it's basically like saying like, you know, there's no saving me. You can't help me. There's no way you can. There's no way that this special someone can reach out their hand, you know, and help me from the hole I've put myself in. And when I got in the room and I was telling them about some of the stuff, you know, like my personal experiences, it just kind of fell into place, man. So, and then when we had the opportunity to get Lindsey Sterling on the record, I was blown away. I was so excited. Greg Thompson, my manager, and he knew him, you know, he had like a friendship with him, a business relationship, and they made it happen for me, man. I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, it's an epic kind of ballad, you know, and it's contemporary, you know, comparisons might say something like Sam Smith, but you're, you know, you got a little bit more rasp, a little bit more, you know, maybe a little bit more of that Southern rock in you, which I love. So it's kind of haunting a little bit, kind of moody. It's really cool. And it just feels like one of those massive like ballads, you know. Is that what you guys were going for?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to make a point. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We wanted that I mean, I wanted, I don't even know how to even word this, man. Like, I want to put people in awe, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Not necessarily, it's nice that they listen to it. I want to remember it though, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Like I said, it's got the, it's ultra moody, even haunting a little bit, you know. I could, it's one of those songs that's really great, production wise. But I feel like it doesn't rely on huge production. You know what I mean? I feel like, a lot of songs feel like they need to go into something. And you know, they need to explode with big drums or something along the way, but you kind of just, you just rely on your voice, you know, to tell the story. And,
And
so it's one of those songs I feel like it would be amazing to watch live, you know, maybe in like a dark, intimate, you know, show, like maybe a mid-sized show or something like that. I feel like, that could be rad. Have you had a chance to start practicing performing these songs live?
When I was out in Cali, I did a live at the Vineyard.
Oh, nice.
Which I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. But,
released it yet. You haven't released it yet.
Yeah. So I probably wasn't supposed to say that. But I did that and I got to practice with some like instrumentalists, and they brung the whole song live. So that was crazy to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So, so what do you got planned next after this single? You said you've been writing like crazy. Are you going to be dropping a few more singles before maybe an EP or an LP, or what's the plan?
I believe that's the case right now. I'm gonna drop two or three more songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think around the beginning of the year, next year, or sometime in the early next year, we'll have a song out by the, well, I mean, we'll have a an album out by then.
All right. So thanks so much for sharing your story, man. Do you, we like to end the show by just asking artists, you know, hey, if you had one piece of advice to give to aspiring artists, what would it be?
I feel like everybody asks me that question and it always gets tougher and tougher. I know it sounds so cliche, but follow your dreams, man, because I was sitting at a point in life where I thought I was like, maybe I do got to get a real job one day. Maybe I do need to get a degree, get a 9-to-5. I got to think about my future. But when I really started thinking about my future, I dropped out of college and I did what I wanted to. I did what I loved and I found a way to make a living out of it. And not necessarily the living doesn't. I mean, yeah, the living's nice. You got to do the necessary things, your responsibilities. But at the same time, I'm doing something I'll never get tired of.